moxie, force of character, determination, or nerve. I'm Sierra Benson, and you're listening to The Moxie Mindset. Is designed to help you grow a healthier, growth-oriented mindset. I've reached out to college professors and professionals who have agreed to come into the studio to help us learn more in depth about the communication and leadership skills we need to succeed. Thank you for joining us on The Moxie Mindset. I'm super stoked for today's episode. But before we jump into today's episode, I just want to let you guys know about this giveaway I'm doing with a planner company I've used since my freshman year of college. Shaneko has agreed to give away one of her famed S planners, the ones I've raved about on my Instagram stories that include both an hourly schedule by week and block plans above where you can write in anything you need to do that day. I use it to write in my syllabi for each of my classes, and you can also use it for anything extracurricular or work-related. All you have to do to enter the giveaway is to download this episode on whatever platform you're listening on and post it to your story on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure to tag both me and Shanae's profiles at sierra.benson and Shaneko. That is S-I-E-R-R-A period B-E-N-S-O-N and S-H-A-N-A-C-O. Then you'll be entered to win the planner. Now this is gonna go for 2 weeks, ending on September 21st, so don't miss out. You can enter to win on multiple platforms, multiple times, by downloading every episode I put out and tagging both of us on either platform. Now, let's get right into today's episode. Matt Sanders is a professor of communication studies at Utah State University. He teaches and writes about organizations, leadership, and interpersonal communication. Thank you for coming on with us, Matt. I've been really interested in the research that you've been putting out about leadership virtues. I was wondering how you even got interested in how virtues are made in leadership and everything that goes along with that.
I'm happy to be here on your podcast, Sierra, and this has been a fun topic for me to research. So when I was in graduate school, I actually worked with a business professor named Wayne Boss at the University of Colorado at Boulder. And I helped him as a teaching assistant in some leadership classes, and I did some consulting with him. And he just talked a lot about virtues, and he would make his class do these virtue assignments where they would have to be completely kind for 3 days and completely honest for 3 days. And if they messed up, they had to start the 3 days over. And it was just a really interesting experience to both do it and to teach it. And it really talked about the importance of these ideas of like kindness and integrity and humility and other kinds of virtues and how much they mattered in people getting things done and getting people to cooperate with them. And so when I left graduate school and I started teaching, I started doing leadership stuff and expanding it out to really think about maybe these are the things that are the heart of being a good leader.
Oh, cool. So what did you start to find in those virtues? What does it really mean to have leadership virtues?
Well, for me, the virtues signaled a shift in how I thought about leadership. So typically in the past, before I did this, I think a lot of people are like this. We think about leadership as a process of getting things done. And so leadership becomes like, how do I get people to do the things I want them to do? How do I get everyone to get to this place? Which is a fine enough definition, I suppose. But what this started to do is I started to think about the virtues of leadership. And again, these virtues are authenticity, integrity, humility, empathy, kindness, patience, grit, and optimism. I just thought, well, this makes me think of leadership in a different way. So it's not just how do I get people to do things that I want them to do, but how do I get people to follow me? How do I become the kind of person that other people want to follow? Because I've learned in my own life that when you're leading and people want to follow you, leadership is a really easy and joyful process. When you're trying to make them do what you want, leadership is really frustrating. And the virtue signal to me that I've got to be a certain kind of person to get people to want to follow me, because I follow those kinds of people.
Oh, cool. Could you expound a little bit on being the kind of person others would like to follow, other than trying to get people to do what you want? What are some of those qualities in depth?
Yeah, so if I'm thinking about leadership and I just want people to get things done, then I start thinking about management stuff. And I start thinking about incentives and, you know, consequences and, you know, all those kinds of things. But when you start to think about leadership in the way that I have been doing, of what kind of person do I need to become so that others will want to follow me, that's been good for me and it's been good for my students. Because when you're a college student, like, you're not going to graduate and go lead anything. First thing you're going to do is just get into a company, get into some kind of an organization or a community group, and then you're going to build rapport and you're going to learn and develop, and then leadership will come over time. And so if you're like, I could develop myself, though, I want to be ready to lead because I can develop who I am. I can change who I am, and I can be the kind of people that they start to look at me and say, that guy is someone I want to work with. That guy is someone I want to be around. That guy is somebody I want to follow. That's somebody I want to listen to, right? So that could be same for you, Sierra. You're going to graduate, you're going to get into your work, and then people are going to say, she's someone that's going somewhere, and I want to, you know, hitch my wagon to her. I want to make sure that I'm working with her and getting her support. So if I'm in a group and I want to get them to do something, and I feel like I got to take them from point A to point B, then I can force them or I can persuade them. And leadership is really about influence. You can have influence in a lot of different ways, but if I can be empathetic and I can feel with them and understand what they're going through and recognize that, and I can be kind, but I can also be honest and have integrity, so I tell the truth. I can be patient as people develop. I can be myself authentically. I can be humble enough to listen and take feedback and learn from other people. I can be optimistic about the future, even if the present is hard. And if I can be patient as I go through that and have the grit to push through, you think about those qualities, Sierra, that sounds like a good person to be around. That sounds like a good person to follow. And all of these doesn't mean that you can't get things done, that you can't say hard things. I think one of the best combinations is kindness and integrity. Sometimes a kindness thing to do is tell people the truth, and you can put those things together. But a lot of times we don't want to tell people the truth, and we're unkind because we just want them to get done the things we want them to do. So I like this idea of developing the self, because a leader never leads in isolation. Leadership requires followership. Followership is always voluntary. Now, you may follow me because you want to, or you may follow me because you have to, because I control something that you need. But even if I control something that you need, if you'll come with me because you want to, you're going to give me information. You're going to talk to me. You're going to listen to me. You're going to help me. And if I'm forcing you in a direction, you're going to resist me. And that's going to make leadership really hard.
So when you're looking at all of these virtues, there's so many of them. How do you choose the ones that you really need to develop? How can you actually manifest that in yourself?
Well, I mean, if you were sitting down on a job interview or a blind date, you know, some situation with somebody new that you're trying to impress, we would all say that we have all these virtues, right? Yes, I'm humble and empathetic and patient and all of that stuff. So what I like to do is to step back and say, what are some situations that I've been in where I've been leading or following, or, you know, some mixture of those, where things just didn't go well and I didn't do well? Like a moment where I struggled as a leader or as a manager or whatever. And it doesn't have to be some big thing. It could be just something small. You can look at those moments where you failed and say, well, how did I exercise some of these virtues? Was I empathetic toward the struggles of the people in the group? Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. Was I patient with people? Was I kind? Did I tell the truth? Was I humble enough to listen and take feedback and own my mistakes? I think looking at your failures and diagnosing them, kind of doing that autopsy of a failure, you can look at it and say, yeah, I really struggled with being empathetic in the moment. Because if you're leading and things are stressful, we tend to lose empathy really quick. Because we want to have control and we just start to tell people what to do. So looking at your own mistakes and struggles is a good way to do that. If that's hard to do initially, that you can look at other people. I love reading biographies and you can see where people are really successful and where they fail. In my leadership class, we read this big, thick book called Team of Rivals. It's about Abraham Lincoln and his cabinet. And there's these five main characters that are with Lincoln in his cabinet and they don't like each other. And I can see moments where humility really helps them out and where some really needed some humility or where kindness won the day and for somebody else it didn't. So if you can start watching that in others and watching that in yourself, then you can kind of say, yeah, maybe I need this. But most of us could look on that list and say, yeah, I struggle being optimistic or I struggle being myself in a group because I'm trying to impress everybody. So I kind of put on a facade. Just some honest introspection, or you can ask people too. Like, how could I develop? Which one of these do you think I need to develop the most? And be willing to take that feedback.
That's good. Feedback is always something that's either really easy for people to receive or really hard for people to receive. How do you not take it personally when you're trying to develop these virtues and like you keep misstepping? Sometimes you're not getting where you want to be. How do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, you're never going to be perfect at all these virtues all the time. I can be really empathetic in some situations and completely unempathetic in others, depending on the stresses I'm under or the circumstance or how insecure I feel. But the more you can learn to take feedback, which requires a lot of these virtues, right? I think inside most of us have this sense that we want to be perfect. And feedback always challenges that perfect image of yourself. And so if you can just recognize that, you know what, if I'm leading, by definition, that means I don't know where I'm going. Because leadership and management are different. So I'm not going to know everything as a leader. Like you're a leader because you're a problem solver, not because you just know everything. I met a CEO of a $1 billion hospital system back east a number of years ago. And in our conversation, he said, Matt, do you know what all CEOs have in common? And I said, what? And he said, we all go to work with the same question on our mind. Is this the day I get found out? Is this the day that people realize I don't know what I'm doing? it was good for me to hear that because I think we want feedback. Like I want to know what I'm doing well and I want to know what I'm not doing well because I have a desire to fix it because I recognize that I'm not perfect, but I'm striving and I'm trying to be better because this is about organizations and processes and people. So there isn't always just a super clear right and wrong. This is how to get to this point. There's lots of ways in organizations that we get to whatever end we're seeking. So just recognizing that you're supposed to make mistakes and you're supposed to not know and you're supposed to learn and you're supposed to get feedback. And I think any leader would tell you about the dozens and dozens of things they didn't know and mistakes they made and things they wish they would have done differently. So I think just opening your heart up to say, yeah, I'm going to do my very best, but life is sticky and it's complicated and we won't do it perfect. But we're going to give it our best shot. And then the feedback helps you improve rather than just sitting there saying, I have to be perfect. I'm a leader. I've got to be perfect. I can't make any mistakes. That's when you get impervious to feedback because you don't want to hear it. Because when you hear it, it's going to tell you that you're not. So that's how I think feedback can be understood in a more beneficial way.
Thank you for that. I know I definitely have a hard time sometimes separating feedback from criticism. And when I do try to separate it, even I start to get a little bit critical of myself, and I can see that in criticizing others as well. But then again, kindness is one of those virtues.
So humility is another thing that comes into play, because you're going to sometimes get feedback that really is just highly critical. People are going to say it in a really mean, insensitive way, and it's going to hurt. And you can brush it off as that's a terrible person or that's a mean person. But somewhere in there, there might be a nugget of something that you actually need for yourself. And that's the point where the humility says, there's something for me here for me to learn. This isn't just about me, and I want to learn stuff. So therefore, I'm going to just take this nugget of good feedback within this really hard criticism I've got, and I'm going to move forward, and I'm not going to try to just get revenge or take it out on them. Because we're all clumsy in how we give feedback, and we're always really critical of others and really defensive of ourselves. And as a leader, you're just going to take some of that, and it's not always pleasant, and you need to have somebody to complain to about it. But in the end, you've got to be able to look at it and say, what's in here for me? There's something that I can learn so that I can be better the next time. Because nobody really expects leaders to be perfect. We just want them to admit their mistakes and improve. The thing that drives us most crazy with people and with leaders is the fact that they're making mistakes and they won't admit it. That's the biggest killer of trust in leadership.
So when you were giving feedback, how do you actually construct it so that it's helpful for the others? And when you're receiving it, how can you make it constructive for yourself?
How do I make it constructive when I give it or when I receive it?
For both.
Okay. So when I receive it, I just need to hear about the issue and I need to take myself out of it. I need to just remind myself that I'm not perfect and I can take this and it's okay. And it hurts, but it's okay. And when I give it, I think that becomes a real key component of leadership, but that's where you need kindness and empathy and integrity, right? You need to be able to tell people the truth. And if something didn't work well, or if something hurt your feelings, or if something is confusing and you don't get it, like whatever it is, you're just going to have to tell them. But if you come from a place of empathy of what would it be like if I was getting this criticism, and how can I say this in a kind way, but also in an honest way that just lets them know that I care about them. That's the, you know, we make this mistake all the time. We get this feedback of, oh, well, you should just say 7 things and then tell them that they're almost fired, right? Something like that. And it ends up sounding like a silly breakup line, you know, like you're so wonderful and smart and terrific and you're going to make someone the happiest person in the world someday, but I don't want to be the happiest person in the world. So I'm breaking up with you, right? None of us ever believe that kind of stuff. So that's when you need to just be able to be honest and say, this is hard. This didn't work for me. I still trust you and I still want to do all of this stuff with you. And I know this is hard to hear, but this is how it's been for me. And I need you to understand this. And this is how I think we might be able to do better. And then always qualify your feedback with, but I'm not, this is my perspective. And I don't know for sure. What do you think about that? And then you're not just saying, you know, some declarative statement about how wrong something was or how bad something was, but you're giving your feedback, you're being empathetic, you're being kind. And then you're asking questions because you want to know, there's stuff that you don't know that you want to know.
I don't feel like we are correctly taught how to actually give feedback. And so it's really good to hear from someone who studies leadership virtues and how to put them into your life, how to get that feedback and give that feedback. So thank you.
Yeah. Feedback is we're taught to do it in a way that makes us feel better about ourselves and not what it means to the other person. That's why oftentimes we're really dishonest with people because we don't want to be tell them the truth, or really unkind and we say the truth in a really mean way. But we can be very kind and tell people the truth of how things are making us feel. But the other part of that in the leadership and this whole idea of virtues is leadership is a relationship. It isn't a moment. So I might have to have a really hard conversation with someone today, but I'm going to have 45 interactions with them for the rest of the week. And all of those are going to influence how they understand that conversation. And so all of this is just part of one big, long, ongoing relationship. And as you know, sometimes relationships feel great and sometimes they feel strained and everywhere in between. And if you think about it, the leadership is just this big, long relationship with a bunch of people in a process. Then all of these things have time to play out. If it's just a moment, then you're like, I can't be kind in the moment because I'm not going to get anything done, or I can't be empathetic, or I can't be patient. But there's just a trajectory, right? You don't just come in and solve one problem and leave. It's not like calling a plumber to come to your house to fix your sink and then the plumber comes and fixes sinks and leaves. That's not what a leader does. A leader takes everybody step by step from point A to point B to point C to point D and on and on. And it's a relationship. And so you got to take care of the people that you're with because you're going to need them. And at some point as a leader, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be struggling. You're going to be in the dark on something and you're going to want people to talk to you. And if they won't talk to you, you won't get the feedback you need and you won't be able to be as successful as you could have been otherwise.
So when you've been researching these, what has been the one that stuck out to you as one that's kind of difficult for you personally to develop and grow?
You know, I think the hardest for me is probably patience. I think as a leader, I'm impatient. I want things to get changed now. I see a problem and I see a way to fix it. And then I'm just like, let's get going. Let's get moving on this. And sometimes I forget that I need to build some consensus and I need to understand the problem better and that I might not be able to fix it in the short term. I think that's a hard one sometimes as a leader, because you're just like, let's get this done. And there's things that I, in my own leadership positions at the university right now, where I just like, we got to get this done and do this and make this change. But what I've done is I've told my dean when I talk about these things and when we make plans, I tell him and remind him, I'm not a patient person sometimes. So if I'm being impatient and moving too quickly, then please temper me and help me move at the appropriate speed. One, because he's my boss and he knows more than I do and he has a different perch from which he sees things than I do. And so I try to hedge against my weaknesses, just let people know. I can run a little too fast into things, so I need you to slow me down if you think I'm moving too fast. Either tell me to slow down, or if I'm not listening, then trip me, if that's a useful metaphor. But that's one that I think right now I'm working on.
I have definitely felt that in my own team that I'm leading right now. I feel like I do have that different view than they do. And it's really hard to kind of feel the flow of the whole team. How do you really navigate that? Like finding that flow so that everyone can be on that same pace?
Well, part of it is recognizing that you might want to go in a certain direction, but you don't know for sure if that's the right direction. You think it is. Your experience, your background, your instincts, your gut, whatever is telling you that this is where you need to go. And you may be right, but you need to make sure that people come along with you, because if you just drag them there, it's not going to be as fun, right? They're not going to be as happy and they're going to resist. I mean, just think about the metaphor of dragging someone. Like, that's really, really hard. You might have done that with a small child who wouldn't come and they kind of play limp noodle on you. They just go limp and you drag them. It's a lot harder than just having them walk to you. So I just remind myself that I don't know everything and I can let them know this is where I need to go. And then I need to start asking questions. At some point as a leader, you have to make a decision, but you want all the input so that you know that you're not just jumping too quickly into something you think is a good idea without knowing. And we all have, there's a term in organizational communication called bounded rationality, which means everything that we know is bounded by what we don't know. And the idea is to spread, is to open that up. But you don't know what you don't know. So that's when you got to say, I feel impatient to do this. This is where I want to go. Now let's have a conversation about it. So you can either confirm that that's the way you need to go, or you can alter it.
Wow. Thank you. I definitely needed to hear that today.
I'm glad.
So I just wanted to wrap it up a little bit here, but I do have a couple more questions.
Sure.
My first one is, what would you tell your younger self?
What would I tell my younger self? Couple things. I would tell my younger self to be yourself, because authenticity is a key part of being a good leader. To be happy with your sense of self and your personality and your sense of humor and your interests, and become more comfortable in your own skin. And and I'd probably tell my younger self to practice patience. That way, right now, I'd be more patient than I am at times. Those are probably two things I would tell myself. And just overall, like, you're going to be fine. Like, keep working hard at it and you'll be fine. Don't worry about being perfect. Just worry about working hard.
And where can we find you at if we have questions or if we want to know more about your research?
Sure. You can send me an email at matt.sanders, matt.sanders@usu.edu. You can shoot me an email and I'll be more than happy to set up a time to chat, and happy to visit with anybody who would like to visit. My office is in Old Main, 202C, and or students can take a leadership class from me, Comm Studies 5500.
Awesome. I'm excited. I get to take a couple classes with you this year, and I'm so excited to learn about all of the things you have for us.
I'm excited to have you in class.
Thank you. Have a great day, Matt, and thank you for coming on to Moxie Mindset.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, it's Sierra, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope it led you to a more positive mindset, a more defined view of leadership, and some action items to take along with you. Don't forget to subscribe and download today's episode, and then post it to your Instagram or Facebook story and tag us at Sierra.Benson and Shineko to enter into the planner giveaway that I've partnered with Shineko on. For more information, you can check out the Moxie website at themoxiemindset.org. Thanks for tuning in today, and I'll see you next week on The Moxie Mindset.